Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
I love the way that Caleb Williams played. We know that he's a tremendous playmaker. But one thing that they wanted him to do was, hey, play the game on first and second down. When we need the play to be made, now go be special. We saw two special plays on third down when they needed it.
NFL Network analyst.
If you think that was an awful performance, you don't know anything about football. That doesn't mean that I think he's a really good quarterback right now. There's lots of things that I see that he's got to get better at.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Tonight, the Cubs road trip begins in Pittsburgh. Pregame coverage begins at 5:05, first pitch at 5:40 on The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Why am I telling you that? Because after that, it's Chargers and Raiders on Westwood One.
It's quite a night of games here. Who's doing that game?
I know someone who is a part of the Westwood One family and also part of our show. It's Kurt Warner, and he joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Kurt, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you squeezing us in. As you can imagine, people in Chicago are not very happy about what it is that they saw yesterday. What did you see yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing we got to talk about is that I know we want to talk a lot about the offense and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, but I mean, obviously that game started on defense, and the fact that the defense wasn't able to, you know, stop anybody and really flash five quarters, you know, Minnesota at the end of the Monday night game in that fourth quarter, and then what Detroit did yesterday, you know, that's the biggest issue that's out there is they got to figure out a way to be able to stop some people defensively. And then you could start working on the offensive side of it. But, I mean, you know, from an offensive perspective, or at least Caleb Williams' perspective, again, I didn't think he played a terrible football game.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
You know what? It seems like Kurt's fading away on us there. I hope he wasn't like going through security. It's like he got farther and farther away while we were talking. Like he doesn't want to be involved with this Bears thing speak, so he just kind of stepped back.
I hope his bacon, egg, and cheese sliders are ready at White Castle. I hope they are. That's usually what happens to me when I start fading away.
That was the one of the best tips that you've ever given me.
White Castle breakfast sandwich.
Castle breakfast is elite.
They make them fresh.
They do. They
every
crack the
time.
Egg fresh.
Yes.
It is an elite breakfast sandwich.
Kurt Warner back with us here on 670 The Score.
No, not yet.
He's
we
not.
We keep talking about breakfast sandwiches.
All right, no, certainly we can.
But I agree with him that the defense and the way that the Lions were able to attack it and that quote of not affecting the quarterback.
Yeah, that's horrifying. That's Ben Johnson talking about what the problems were. And it's not, and it leads to the broader issue of what is schematically an issue and what is just the talent. But either way, you got a quarterback that comfortable. I mean, Kurt Warner's been there with Orlando Pace et al. Sometimes in those Ram games where he can just sit back there and do whatever the hell he wants.
I also wonder with DA, like, do you then feel like, oh, I have to do the thing now? I've got to be the crazy defensive coordinator because we can't get pressure with four or five. I've got to now maybe do stuff that I don't necessarily want to do. Mm-hmm. And remember, the offensive line for the Lions, it's not like it's the same group. They've gone through a lot of changes too, and they were able to protect their quarterback, and their quarterback was able to protect himself by getting the ball out quick. But even on play action, like the way that they were able to kind of sucker the Bears in some of those situations and make plays down the field was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's because they were running the ball with great effectiveness. So it's, you know, when you can do that, when you can't contain the edge, like I wonder, like if Dennis Allen more upset with that, their ability to set the edge, because it wasn't just Jahmyr Gibbs, it's David Montgomery who got outside with impunity a couple of times. And if that's the case, then woof, then everybody's scrambling, and then the play action leaves all kinds of wide open space there in the middle.
I love the people inside the Twitch. Someone said Kurt drove into a tunnel on purpose. Bless you. So that he didn't have to talk about what's going on with his team. That's bad. You are so good looking. You are having a day today, yeah, sir. Man.
Well, you know, your find of the Tylenol has been effective. I have Bears fever. And it's not the good kind.
Clearly.
I have Bears pneumonia, maybe. It's like the realization of just how freaking far away this thing felt yesterday. Just a horrendous feeling. Like, oh, 0-2 means the playoffs are toast. To me, anyway, last year, Lawrence, there were three 0-2 teams who didn't make the playoffs in a 17-game season.
Yeah, the math is a little different from 17 versus 16, but we've got Kurt back. So, Kurt, let's go back to the defense again. Okay. What was Detroit doing that allowed them to just kind of do whatever? Because they averaged, what, 8.5 a play. They were doing inside runs, outside runs. It didn't seem to matter. What did you see on how they were so effective?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was anything special or anything that they hadn't done in the past. They were just winning the line of scrimmage. And as you said, they were winning early downs, which allows them to be able to do the things they want to do, pushing the ball down the field, the play action game, and all of that. But, I mean, as you said, they were just winning. Whatever they decided to do, they were winning the line of scrimmage, and that's where it all starts, especially, you know, with the Lions. They lost the line of scrimmage in week one, and they got beat bad by the Packers. They won it this time around and obviously beat the Bears pretty good.
You were somebody who people loved to listen to and read and watch your incredible breakdown of Caleb after week one, because you pushed back on this idea by many, including me, of concerns for Caleb. And we know it's going to take a while, but in terms of what you saw yesterday, did you see a continuation of some good things? Like, where is your concern level for Caleb to be a viable top-tier NFL quarterback eventually?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing that makes it hard at times to evaluate game to game, because when I went back and evaluated week one, just like I do every week, you take it play by play and you look at the play and you say, where should a guy have gone? What's the read? Where should his eyes have been? All of that stuff. And so really in both games, I think Caleb has done a decent job of, you know, getting the ball where it should go. And so from that perspective, you know, the first 2 weeks have not been awful, and, you know, it's not as if, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. But there are so many elements within that that I think he needs to work on. You know, there's times that he comes out and I wonder why his eyes are where they are. You know, if you watch the breakdown last week on a couple of those plays that, you know, that he missed, those throws that he should have made, you know, he like turned his head and he's looking at the sideline with the idea, I believe, and I don't know for a fact, but the idea to try to hold the defense and the linebacker to that side so he can come back and throw, whether it's that skinny post or the end of Komet or whatever it was, you know, and it's little things like that where you're like, you don't have to look over to the side. Like, you're doing too much, which means that when you come back and have to look all the way from the sideline back to the left-hand side, you're just doing too much at one time. There's footwork issues. You know, we've seen it in both games, is that when he's going to the right spot, there's a number of throws that he's missed simply because of footwork. He's got a bad tendency to have his feet lined up, basically, I'll say, to the left of the target. You know, it doesn't always mean to the left-hand side of the field, but
his feet will be lined up in a position where, you know, when he goes to throw it, it's way off to the right, and it becomes more of an arm throw than it is, you know, being able to lead with your body. And he's missed a number of throws in two games that way. And so you kind of have to look at it two ways, is that he's not making a bunch of bad decisions, and he's finding, you know, a completion quite often. But there's a lot of nuance within that I think he has to get better at if he's going to take that step, and, as you say, to become a really good starting quarterback in the NFL.
This segment with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Great Clips. It's going to be great. And it's brought to you by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. If you've ever been on a lopsided loss, Kurt, what's the role of the quarterback in the next week? Do you just flush the game, or are there conversations that need to be had from a team perspective if you're the starting QB?
Yeah, usually when you get to this level, you know, there's not huge conversations that you have to have from week to week. You know, I remember back in, you know, 08, the year that we went to the Super Bowl with the Cardinals, we had started fast, and then we played like four playoff teams down the stretch after we had clinched our spot in the playoffs, and we got blown out by every one of those playoff teams. So after a few games like that where it's like, okay, we're getting ready for the playoffs, we just got blown out by everybody that's good in this league, you know, we did have to have some sit-downs or grab the leaders and talk to certain people. But, in game two of a new regime, as you're trying to put things together, I'm not sure there's a talk that needs to be had outside of, and again, I don't know all the nuances of what they're doing offensively and defensively, outside of the fact that, you know, if what they're putting on the field is just not a very good product, not just, you know, by point standards, but, you know, like all the details are off and guys are messing up assignments left and right and that sort of stuff, then you always have to, if you're a leader, step in and go, okay, you know, we got to correct this. And the first thing you always want to do is hold yourself accountable. Like, hey, I missed these four throws. I got to be better. You know, I got to make these throws. Even though we got beat by 30, you never know what one or two throws turns the game around. So you take accountability, but you do have to point out those types of things if there's a dramatic, you know, issue going on within the offense or the defense or the team as a whole. But, you know, I'm not sure that's necessarily the case as much as just everybody, you know, putting it together, growing together, learning the new system and putting a better product on the field next week.
Kurt Warner with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Do you think he leaves the pocket too early sometimes, and how often does he do that as you watch?
No, I mean, I don't think right now that I'm saying that, you know, too often. You know, like when I look back at his college tape, yeah, I thought there was a lot of times that he was, you know, he was dancing around or moving and trying to create when he didn't have to. I'm not sure I've felt that way the last 2 weeks. Hmm. I feel like most of the time it's been out of necessity, you know, when things have fallen apart in front of him. So I would say that I feel like he's trying to do a better job of staying in the pocket, you know, and getting through some of his reads before he takes off and creates.
Because that's my biggest concern, is that he leaves a little early instead of staying for that extra split second. I've heard that from a lot of football people. And so it's interesting that you're not seeing that to the degree.
Well, I think the thing you also have to understand is the reason that you stay and stand in the pocket when you start to feel pressure is because you feel like something is going to come open. You know, like as a quarterback, if I'm standing in there and I'm making a read and I realize that, you know, defender just grabbed, you know, whatever, grabbed the out, and so I'm going to have the corner, I'm much more apt to stand in the pocket that half a second because I know something's coming. If I don't know something's coming, then it's easy to just say, well, stand in the pocket. But if I don't know that something's going to come open and all of a sudden I'm starting to feel pressure, then I'm going to be more apt to move and create than just stand there and go, oh, my gosh, here comes the pressure, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. And so, again, it's so easy to sit back and watch tape and just say, well, I mean, if he stays in an extra second there, this is coming open. But he's got to know that's coming open. And I think, again, that's part of the problem with Caleb right now, is slowing the game down, understand what he's seeing, and so he can start to understand that timing better of when he's got to make a throw, when he's got to have his feet and eyes in a particular spot, how long he can hold in the pocket knowing, hey, this is coming. This is the timing of this particular throw. I've got time to hang in there because I know based off of what the safety did or what this linebacker's doing that that throw is going to be there. And I think those are all things that, he's got to get better at. But I think that's what leads to a quarterback and their willingness to stand in the pocket is based off of not just because I'm willing to stand here and get hit. It's based off of the fact that, hey, something's coming open. If I can just hang here for that half a second, I got a chance to make that throw.
Kurt, that was a really nice moment yesterday on the pregame with Coach Mooch and Tom Izzo and Mooch getting his jersey retired at Northern Michigan.
It was. It's pretty cool that, we joke with Mooch all the time, and he always jokes, he had a cup of coffee in the Canadian League. And I don't know if anybody's really, we know him as a coach and how good he was as a coach. I don't think any of us really know him as a player. And so to see that moment and then, have him talk about how he led a team from 0-10 to a national championship the next year and, a guy from a division school, Division II school being eighth in the Heisman voting. I mean, it starts to put in perspective how good of an athlete and how good of a player he was. And I don't know if any of us really appreciated that. So really cool moment. I mean, obviously, Coach Izzo and his history and how great a coach he is. And I know their friendship. That was a really cool moment. And he was blown away. He was surprised. We were just talking that he had a college teammate that was being inducted into their Hall of Fame. And his teammate had passed away. And so, like 30 minutes before he found out, he was doing an acceptance speech, for his teammate that wasn't going to be able to be there. And so then, to have it flipped, him thinking about that direction and having it flipped on him that his number was going to be retired was really a cool and special moment for all of us, but for him, I know.
Outstanding. Kurt, thanks. Have a great call tonight.
All right, guys. Take care.
We got a lot to do in a very little amount of time because the Cubs are playing against the Pirates and we're done here at 5:05. We got to talk about the Tush Push and Caleb if we have time. We got Jalen Johnson coming on at 4:30.
Yeah, and we need to hear from the coach because the coach just talked. So we're going to hear his thoughts on a couple different issues, including the quarterback. That's next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.